grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come. Take away the hindrance of our sins and make us ready for the celebration of your birth, that we may receive you in joy and serve you always. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah, the 7th chapter. The Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heavens." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David. Is it too little for you to weary mortals, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child, and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted." The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 80 responsively. Hear, O shepherd of Israel, leading Joseph like a flock. Shine forth, you that are enthroned upon the cherubim. Restore us, O God of hosts. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved.
O Lord God of hosts, how long have you been angry by the prayers of your people?
You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have given them bowls of tears to drink.
You have made us the derision of our neighbors, and our enemies laugh us to scorn.
Restore us, O God of hosts. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved.
Let your name become a man in your right hand, the Son of Man you have made so strong for yourself.
And so will we never turn away from you. Give us life, that we may call upon your name.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, the 1st chapter. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, the gospel concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of his name, including yourselves who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all God's beloved in Rome who are called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the first chapter. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord.
When my mother named me Karen, she thought that she was selecting a very unique name. She didn't know any children named Karen. And when I graduated from high school, there were 7 Karens in my graduating class. She thought that was such a good name for her little curly-headed baby. But it wasn't unique. Names really do give us an identity. They tell us who we are. The first thing that parents teach their little ones, learn to say your name. We get everything from coffee cups to bathrobes to Christmas decorations, all inscribed with our names on them. I have this card that was given to me years ago that tells about my name. I think the reason I've kept this card is it gives me something to aim for. It says, "Karen, she is strong, even a little stubborn, single-minded and determined, fearless and charismatic. She makes an excellent leader or organizer and has a rare combination of vision and practicality." The name is a Scandinavian short form of Catherine, which derives from the Greek name Hecate, the goddess of enchantment. Yeah, wow. One of the great rituals that prospective parents go through is this process of selecting a name. Baby books and internet searches and family trees. We look in all of these places to find the exact name. Now, I've never had to select a name for a child, and I'm fascinated to the process that people go through. In these days, parents know the gender of the child well before the baby is born, so they can even be more sure that this child will be named this name. Our youth director, Jeremy and Jessica, are expecting a baby, and they know that it's a little girl, and they have already selected a name. And they're calling their baby by her name already. Her name is Cademan, and that's a 7th century saint. This saint was well known for writing poetry and putting that poetry to music. And he was also very well known for his singing. And I'm sure that Jeremy and Jessica hope that their little girl grows up to be someone who loves music and also a great singer. But sometimes the names change. as we grow and mature. My husband was Donnie when he was a little boy. And when he hit high school, he became Don. And when he had calling cards made and signing credit card receipts, he became Donald. With each new time in life, the name changed, hopefully to represent some maturity and change there, the corresponding change of the name. And nicknames are really popular. In the South, nicknames are very popular. Don and I worked in a church where the president of the congregation was named Buster, and the treasurer was named Fricky. Well, I'm sorry, I couldn't call either of those gentlemen those nicknames to their faces. It just didn't seem proper. I had to say Mr. Hollings and Mr. Marchink. I just wasn't comfortable with Buster and Fricky. Did you notice in our scripture today, the angel tells Joseph two names for that baby that they are going to have. In the ancient world, names were much more important than they are even today. First, the angel says to Joseph, "You are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The Hebrew name, Jesus, is actually a verb. It means save. So Jesus, can you imagine on Christmas morning we get a baby named Save? It was a popular name in the Old Testament. We have many people named Save. It's the word for Joshua, for Isaiah, for Hosea. They saved their people, Israel, and now we have Jesus who will save. Jesus who will save from sin and guilt. Jesus will save from death and destruction. Jesus will save from despair and hopelessness. Jesus will save from poverty and hunger and sickness. All the stories that we remember, it's Jesus who saves. And all during this season of Advent, we've been getting ready for this saving one who will come to us when we cannot save ourselves. And the second name that the angel gives for this baby is Emmanuel, God with us. Isn't this great news? Isn't this very good news? God is present. God is with us. All through the New Testament, wherever Jesus comes, he comes with life, with the presence of God. He comes to the deaf, the lame, the sick, the hungry, even to the dead, and brings new life. The presence of Jesus makes new life possible. And that continues today. The presence of Jesus today makes new life possible. We believe that through this baby named Save, God is with us. God is with us in this season of need and joy, in this season of despair and rejoicing. Sometimes we hear that somebody wants to make a name for himself. And that, of course, the person already has a name. But that means that they're trying to establish themselves in some way that lifts them up in prestige or fame or honor of some sort to make a name for himself or herself. Jesus didn't try to make a name for himself. It was what he did that has forever given the name of Jesus its meaning and significance. Jesus saves. And here we are, standing on the brink of Christmas And Matthew is getting us ready. He's telling us that God's Spirit makes all things new through this baby. And he names the baby twice. A baby named Save. And Jesus saves us from everything that destroys life. Saves us from all that is despair and sadness. Saves us from our sins and redeems us with his love. A baby named Save comes into our world. The angel names Jesus another name, Emmanuel, God with us. And we are not alone. With this baby named Emmanuel, we know that we are not alone. God is with us. No matter where we are, God is there. God is here. You remember the promise at the end of Matthew's gospel? Jesus said, "Remember, I am with you always until the end of time." I hear that phrase, "I will be with you always," in a way that Matthew did not intend. When Matthew wrote, "I will be with you always," he meant forever and ever, that that's what Jesus was saying. But I hear that Matthew's words, Jesus saying, "I will be with you always." God is not limited to my ideas of how God is here. Jesus is with us in all ways and for all ways. Today's scripture doesn't ask us to do anything, except maybe to be dazzled by this good news, to be thinkers and to think about what this means, to have a baby named Save in a world that we thought was unsavable, to have a baby named God with us when our own lives sometimes feel abandoned and alone. Just when we thought everything was hopeless, here comes hope. Just when we thought everything was unsavable, unredeemable, here comes a baby named Save. Just when we were feeling so alone and so abandoned, here comes a baby named Emmanuel. God is with us. Can you believe that? That God, your Savior, is with us? That God is with us? Now, sometimes I think it's easier to think about what happened 2,000 years ago in a little village called Bethlehem. I think it's easier for us to focus at Christmas time on that little baby event that happened 2,000 years ago. I think that's easier than to think about how God is present, Emmanuel, right now in our lives. That Jesus is here right now in our lives as our Savior, as the one who is with us. I read one place some time ago that most people would rather not catch Christianity, that most people would rather just be inoculated with Christianity, just get enough of it so that they can keep from really catching it. And I think that in some ways, we look at Christmas as like a booster shot, you know, just a little bit of it to give us that sense so that we don't really get caught with the real thing. And what is the real thing? The real thing is God is with us. To believe that, to believe that God is with us. But it's easier just to get that little booster shot and to remember that a Jesus was born 2,000 years ago, and to forget, that we forget that Jesus is with us now, today. The Savior is born and is with us, and we are saved. we are free. And yet we don't live like we're free. We live like we're still in bondage. And here, during this Christmas season, we're really in bondage. We're in bondage to parties, in bondage to spending more than we should, in bondage to putting on a happy face and being all the time. How do we celebrate the coming of the Prince of Peace? By making our lives more chaotic? How do we celebrate the coming of the Lord of Life? By living in depression and feeling lifeless? We need more of the real thing. We need more than just a booster shot. We need to catch it. We need to really get Christianity. We need to really get the real thing, Jesus Christ. When you reach out your hands today to receive Holy Communion, remember what you are receiving. You're receiving the real thing, Jesus who saves, Jesus who is God with us, Emmanuel. When you reach out your hand to receive communion today, remember who it is that you hold in your hand. This Jesus, who does live up to his name. God with us. Jesus, save. Amen.